And so I did not know, and I've sung that song hundreds of times. I didn't know that was Fanny Crosby's song, amen. It's so exciting when you learn something new for the first time. That's a Fanny Crosby song. All right, let's pray. Lord, I pray that you're blessed reading your word tonight, Father, and Lord, that you will help me expound upon it, Father, that it might be right and that it might be pleasing to you, Father, and Lord, that we just want to please you in this worship service, that you be worshiped and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, we're going to look at one of the very sad situations and circumstances in Israel. The kingdom is coming to an end. Matter of fact, the king here, Jehoiakim, is the next last king. After him will be Zedekiah, who's kind of co-leading the country right now. It's kind of a strange situation. And then the kingdom will be over, really. It won't be together again now until the millennium. But we need to understand why it came apart, why it collapsed so thoroughly. I mean, this country was clearly, Israel was clearly the strongest nation in the time of David and Solomon in the whole world. The world came to them for their needs. How did this nation that was so strong completely collapse? Well, we know one thing. After we had Solomon, we had a division of the country. Israel broke off from Judah, and you had 10 tribes and 2 tribes, and the country is divided. It's not going to make it. Okay? And so then Judah remains faithful to God, and Israel falters. Okay? And so now we are at a time where Israel is gone. Assyria took them away. And Babylon now is ready to devour the land of Judah. And so this is where we find Jehoiakim, the king, in this scenario. And so, you know, just look at the first verse. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that the word came of Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, and look, Jehoiakim has every opportunity to be right. His father, Josiah, was one of those godly kings in all of Israel. If you remember Josiah, now he tore down all the high places of the false gods. He tore down all the groves. He brought the country back to God. You remember, they read the word of God, and he was so moved when they found the word of God and they read it. That's Josiah. This is his son. He has every opportunity to see that and say, okay, God bless my father. What did he do? Maybe I should do the same thing. But that's not what happened. And so the country is facing a real showdown with the world power of Babylon. Okay? So God tells Jeremiah, okay, take the roll of the book and write therein all the words that are spoken to thee against Israel and against Judah. Okay? Now, he is going to give the words here that he has been giving since the time of Josiah, that Babylon's going to come down and it's going to take and destroy it. He's been preaching it and preaching it and preaching it. So there's nothing new to Jehoiakim. He's heard it his whole life. All right? God is dealing directly with Israel and Judah. And it's serious that he wants his word previously given verbally, now delivered in writing. You know, it's kind of, we guys, we understand this, the shipyard guys, it's kind of like getting a verbal reprimand, a verbal warning, and then a written reprimand, right? It's always written, it's always worse. Okay, God was told him verbally what he was going to do. Now he's telling Jeremiah, write it down. Write it down and read it to him. Okay, it's kind of like a verbal warning and a written reprimand. You're going to hear what I've got to say, and it's going to be in writing what I have to tell you. Okay? So it may be that in verse 3, the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, and that they may return every man from his evil way, and I forgive their iniquity and their sin. Interesting terms there. Their iniquity and their sin. I would think they're the same thing, but they're not. Iniquity, the root word there is Avon, or Avon, and if you want to do it in English, it's Avon. So when Avon's calling, you know it's iniquity. Okay, it's what it says here. So iniquity, Avon, is a perversity. All right? And sin, chata, is an offense, habitual sin. So God demands that both, which are different, be repented. One is your heart attitude. Your perversity, your heart attitude. That has to change. My people, you need to change your heart attitude. And it starts with changing your heart attitude towards God. If you change your heart attitude towards God, you'll change your heart attitude towards the world. You'll change your heart attitude towards your fellow Christians. But you won't change anything unless you change your heart attitude. Perversity, heart attitude. Then the second thing he says is chata, and that is the actual act of sinning. So not only do you need to change your attitude, but you need to change the fact that you keep sinning against me. But you know what? Sinning is a direct result of the attitude. If you change your attitude, you'll not sin. Your attitude, your perverse attitude, brings along the sin that you'll commit. So one breeds the other. And God wants them both cleaned out of your life. Get rid of sin. Get rid of the bad attitude that causes sin. Clean those up in your lives. You know, hey, you know what? God was desiring to forgive them. If they would have been forgiven, history would have turned out different. But we know that that's not the case because that was promised to God that they would not forgive. God knew that they were not going to repent. But God's giving you space to repent. God's saying, look, I'm giving you space to get right. I preached it and preached it and preached it. The same thing over and over again, that you get right. And so he says, Jeremiah, now you're going to write this down. So they're going to know, because my judgment is going to be swift and sure. According to verse 3, God's judgment was going to come, and it was going to be swift and sure and destructive. So God wanted them to stop. So what happens here? If you read on, it says that then Jeremiah calls up to Baruch. In verse 4, he calls Baruch up, and he says, hey, he says, God's given me the word, and Baruch is the scribe, and so I'm going to dictate to you what God's given me, that you can go out and preach that to the people. So I want you to write down exactly what I tell you so everyone can hear it. Now, this is not unusual. Paul used somebody to write his messages for him, his letters, right? Paul many times used somebody to write his letters. So him dictating God's word to Baruch is not uncommon or anything outside of what God normally does. Baruch is a scribe. He probably has nice handwriting. I'll tell you what, if I was going to dictate something to you and you were going to read it, I'd rather somebody else write it. Because have you ever seen my handwriting? The biggest blessing of my life is when they came up with computers. Okay, because my handwriting is terrible. All right? And who knows, Jeremiah said, Baruch, you write that. I mean, Baruch is a scribe. So he can write things in the perfect jots and tittles. And so God gives the word to Jeremiah, and he writes it in the book. So Jeremiah commands his verse 5, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Wow. We don't know why Jeremiah was closed out of the house of the Lord. We have no idea. It doesn't say here, but we have a pretty good idea, I guess. They hated his preaching. They constantly put him in prison because he was preaching against judgment against Israel. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah had to put up with false prophets saying, no, that's not what God said. God said everything would be fine, everything's great. And of course, everybody liked that better. And Jeremiah got thrown in jail and he got forbidden to preach in the temple. Now, I want you to think about this. I mean, can you imagine that we would shut up the pastor or anybody if you're preaching the word of God? That's what they did. They said, no, what? We don't want you preaching. We don't preach the word of God. He's God's man. We don't want to hear from you. Just like we say to pastors, hey, we don't want to hear from you. You might come here tonight. We don't want to hear from Lou, from Brian, or from Jim. We don't want to hear that. That's what they did. They shut out the word of God. And so Baruch had to go in the house of God and preach it because Jeremiah was shut out. So Jeremiah says, okay, Baruch, you go in there and you go. And in verse 6, you go and read the roll which that was written in the mouth and the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the house upon the fasting day. Now, is there any fasting day? It's a holiday in Israel? No. This is the nation fasting. They are in deep trouble. They know the enemy's approaching. And so they're going to fast and pray that God would protect them. And that's something they don't want the word of God, but they want God's protection. So they're going to fast and pray. So there's going to be a time when the people are going to come to Jerusalem, fast and pray for God's blessings. All right? So he says, that's when I want you to speak to them. So there's a gap here of maybe 9 months here between the time that this was written and the time it was delivered to the people. All the people came to Jerusalem, and there was a fasting and a time of prayer. And that's when they decided that we're going to read this to all the people. This is the Word of God. There's no doubt. It's certified by Jeremiah that this is the Word of God. All right? So there's no doubt who's this about. So Barak, in verse 8, did according to what Jeremiah said, and he went with the words in the house of the Lord. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord, the people in Jerusalem, and all the people came to the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. So now they're all here. They all came. God brought them all in. And now he says, I got the people here. You tell them what I said. Okay? And that's the job, really. The job of anybody standing by this pulpit, it should be the pastor, but it's not. I don't care who's standing by this pulpit. The job of that person is to tell you what the Bible says, what God says. That's all my job is. My job is to say, this is what God says. Okay? Your job is to say, okay, I believe what God says. That's your job. Your job is to go home and say, maybe I'll read that a little more and figure out what's going on there, or maybe ask some questions. But that's your job. My job is simply to deliver the word. That was what Baruch was going to do. He said, I got Jeremiah's scroll here, the hand delivered by God. And now I'm going to deliver it to you so that you know what God has said. So, Jeremiah here, in verse 7, he says it may be the present there, when they present the supplication before the Lord. Okay? So Jeremiah's kind of interesting here. He says, look, when they come to prayer and they pray for their needs, supplications where you ask God to fulfill your needs, he says, well, they're doing that. Maybe they'll listen to what God wants from them. I'm praying to God here. God, I need this. And God says, well, I want this from you. You see it? So Jeremiah's hope is when their hearts are soft and they're really asking God for their needs, that they would listen to what God needs from them. And so that's why Jeremiah did it this way. One problem is that we all share with Judah is that we just don't take God seriously. You know what? I mean, God said, if you don't do this, if you don't repent, then you're going to feel my complete fury. Nobody listens. How often do we listen to God about when he says things to us? You know, God says, hey, if you don't do this, do that. You know, you're not going to be my will. Well, okay, I'll move in your will. Right? We don't try to be in God's will. It's okay, I won't be in God's will. But we want God's blessing. They wanted God's blessing, but they didn't want to be in the will of God. That's a dangerous position to be in, folks. If you're not in God's will, you're not going to get God's blessing. As a matter of fact, you're going to get God's spanking. Okay? God's going to correct you. And so Israel is coming to, or rather Judah is coming to a major correction because they will not listen to God. So in verse 8 here, we say, no, and broke the son of, he did everything that was commanded, and he read the book in verse 9, and then he read in the book of the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Gemara, where in verse 10, the son of Shapna, the scribe, in the higher court and the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. So everybody got to hear. He got up there and he said, okay, I got something for you. This is a scroll that Jeremiah wrote to me, that God gave Jeremiah. Jeremiah wrote, had me write. And he starts reading that scroll, and everybody hears him. You know what? He's in front of a whole audience, and everybody hears the word of God. All right? So what happens in verse 11? Well, when Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shapna, had heard out of the book of all the words of the Lord, then he went down to the king's house and into the scribe's chamber. And he went to the scribe I said, okay. He says, you won't believe what I just heard. You won't believe this. They're talking about the destruction of Israel. And the interesting thing is during this time of preaching, Micaiah was there and a lot of the government officials were there. So the government all heard of the coming danger. It was coming. There was nothing they could do to stop it. And so they all heard that. They were all there. And now Micaiah comes in to the scribe and he says to him, okay, now I want you to go tell the king what was happening here. So the scribe tells the king, hey, this is what was said. Okay, this is what they said there. King Jehoiakim says, well, you know what? I want to hear it from the exact reading. I don't want to hear your interpretation of it. I want you to bring me that paper. I want you to bring me that papyrus, that roll. I want you to get a roll in here, and I want to hear exactly what's written. Okay? So he went down to the king's house, and the scribe was there, and Delilah, and Shimei, and Elnathan, and the sons of Archbor, and Jeremiah, and Shapnah, and Zedekiah, the son of Hananiah, and all the princes, okay? Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that had been when Bruce read out of the book, and the king says, okay, now what I want you to do is go and get someone to read it for me. Okay, and this is interesting. He says, go and get somebody to read it for me, and we have all these princes and all these intelligent people and all the kingdom there. And what do? They take Jehudi, a page, barely educated, and he's going to read the word of God. I want you to think about this. Baruch could have been the best because he got it firsthand and he knew where and how to read that thing. The princes who were students and learned it, they would at least understand the seriousness and read it accordingly. There's no way that Jehudi could even read the book that way. He was not that educated. So he just read it without really no understanding what it was saying. It's kind of like we took someone up the street here out there, one of those kids walked by and we said, okay, I want you to read the scripture tonight. And he read the scripture, you absolutely not know what's going on there. And so how would he know what to emphasize? How would he know what's important? And so the king picked the least qualified person to read the word of God to him. Okay? That's how much disrespect he had for the word of God. He got the least qualified person to read it. All right? So he said, sit down now and read our ears. So, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. The princes, of course, they went and they hid Baruch and Jeremiah, because Baruch and Jeremiah would certainly be killed by the king. And at this point, these guys had enough respect or fear of the Lord that they did not want Baruch and Jeremiah hurt or killed. So they said, go hide yourself from the king. Don't tell the king where you're at. Don't tell them where you're at. Hide yourselves. Okay? So Baruch and Jeremiah are in hiding. At this point now, they're in hiding. And so they're reading the word of God now. And we're in verse 16. Now it came to pass, I'm sorry, verse 19, and the princes unto Baruch, go hide thyself and Jeremiah, and let no man know where you be. And they went into the king of the court and laid up the royal chamber of Elishama, the scribe, who told the words of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll. He says, okay, you go, Jehudi. You bring that paper right here. I want you to read it to us. And so here we go. Here's Jehudi, a page. And sitting out here is all the princes and all the government and all the important people. And the king is sitting there. And here's Jehudi reading this thing to them. All right? So now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, for it was the fire of the hearth burning before him. They're all nice and warm. And Jehudi's reading. And all of a sudden the king says, wait a minute. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four of the leaves, now, when they wrote things, they didn't write it like this. It were columns. They're calling them weeds, okay? So when he read that, the king says, that's enough. I've heard enough. No more. And take the paper. And take out his knife. He cut them up, the leaves, or the individual sections, and he threw them in the fire. Okay, now, I want you to think about that. He threw the Word of God in the fire. This is a shame. How many people just don't respect the Word of God? He had so little respect for the Word of God that he gave it to the least educated to read it. And then after a few leaves, he said, ha, cut it up and put it in the fire. It was all show. I am better. I'm the king. Who's this guy going to tell me what to do? And so he tore it up, cut it up, and threw it in the fire. You know what? We have examples of this. Thomas Jefferson, you remember him? He was one of our presidents, third president, right of Declaration of Independence. He had this thing about the Bible, and he made one for himself. He cut out all the verses he liked and made his own Bible out of the verses he liked. That's what he did. I don't like that. Chop for that out. I like this. I'll keep it. And he actually, this is the truth. He made a Bible of all the things he liked. And that's what he kept and read. Okay? Jehoiakim didn't like this stuff, so he threw it in the fire. You know what? Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard these words. And there's some people that are going to be exception. They did not and were not offended by the king burned the word of God. There was no shame. There's no regret. There's no response. Can you imagine right now if I just up there and said, you know what? I don't like the word of God, and I took out a lighter and I matched and burned it right here. And all just sat there and said, okay, that's good. That's what happened. The prince is there when it comes. Okay, that's fine. You burnt it good. That's good. That's fine. We don't care. Can you imagine that? I mean, if I said and put this Bible on fire right now and said that I don't believe the word of God and I put it on fire to you, I can guarantee you there'd be men out of the seat right now and they would take me out of here. Okay? Why? Because that's blasphemy and you guys won't stand for it. But these princes all stood for it. And this is God's word to Judah itself. From the prophet, from God's man. Nobody rent their clothes. Nobody said, don't do it. Nobody said, don't burn it. Nobody did nothing. They all just stand by. You know, you would think, I don't care. I'm going to stand by God's word even against the king. But no, they just kept their mouth shut. Except. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah had made an accession to the king that he would not burn the roll. But he wouldn't hear them. He said, okay, dude, shut up. I don't care what you say. It's gone. And so some people there stood for the word of God, but most people said, I don't want nothing to happen here. I just, yeah, you want to burn a man? Burn a king. I don't care. All right? You know what the problem is here? The problem is that people do not care about the word of God. They just don't care. It doesn't matter to them. The word of God is irrelevant to them. Today, the word of God is irrelevant to most people. You think about this? You think about this. People take the word of God and they change it up. I mean, there's church in this town right now, there's liberal church in town right now that will tell you, God doesn't say anything against homosexuality in the book. I can show you where it does. God doesn't say anything about transgender in the book. I can show you where it is. God doesn't say anything about transvestitism in the book. I can show you where it is. See, they deny what's in the book because they don't like that part of the Word of God. You know, we have the whole counsel of God. We need to live by the whole counsel of God, folks. I mean, there's parts I don't like, but we've got to live by it. Right? There's parts that you really don't like, but you've got to live by them. You know why? Because we're supposed to be right with God. And God wants to live right. No matter what the world thinks of us. And that doesn't mean that you go around criticizing and hating people. That's not what we're talking about. Love the sinner, hate the sin. Pray for people. Witness to people. Be compassionate to people. You know what? They might get saved and leave a lot of stuff behind. But when you judge them, you just make a mockery of yourself and God and run them back into the sin that they already are trapped in. Yep. You know something? The king says, hey, I've had enough of this stuff. I want you to go and I want you to arrest those two. Arrest them. Go and arrest Jeremiah and Baruch. Go arrest them. Okay? You know what? It shows you how this is. When people don't like the word of God, they go after the messenger. They go after the preacher. They go after the people that are preaching it. They don't go after anything else. You know why? Because they absolve themselves. I'm not going after God. I don't hate God. I hate that guy up there who's preaching his word, but I don't hate God. You see how he justified himself? I'm not doing this against God. I'm doing this against Jeremiah and Baruch. I believe in God. I'm not hurting God. I'm after these guys for doing that. And that's how people are. They go after the messenger rather than the message. So they hate the preacher, so it's comfortable because they don't have to admit they hate God. They hate the Christian, they don't admit they hate God. They hate you, and they don't admit they hate God. But really, what Christ say? It's not you they hate, it's me. When they hate you, they hate Christ. And this is a perfect example here. They go after the messenger rather than going after the message. And so they go out there and they go to arrest them again. Of course, they can't find them because they're hidden, right? So what happens? The word of the Lord in verse 27 comes to Jeremiah after the king had burned the roll and the words which Baruch wrote of the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll and write in all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king had burned, and thou shalt say to Jehoiakim the king of Judah, thus saith the Lord. Now, there's going to go on a few things here. We'll catch that in a second. But he says, not only are you going to get all the exact words again, but I'm going to add to it. You know what? He wants to throw that in the scroll, in the rye fire. You're going to write the same thing down, and you're going to add this stuff for the king himself. Yeah. It's a dangerous thing, folks. God's word is going to go on. You could take this, you can go up here and physically take my Bible away from me. It doesn't end God's word. You can physically take every Bible out of the building. You can't destroy God's word. See, so people try to destroy God's word. They try for centuries and millennia. They try to destroy God's word. They try to not believe God's word. They try to change God's word. They try to do everything they can to distort the word of God. That's why we have 1,000 translations today, because everybody's trying to distort the word of God, get rid of it. That's why they preach some craziness that's not in the word of God. They say it is, and it is, and they say it's not, because they want to destroy the word of God. That's the whole plan here. Folks, you cannot destroy the word of God. Not only will he give it back, but he's going to say, not only am I going to give it back, but now I'm going to produce a judgment on Jehoiakim for destroying my word. God's word is the only thing that's going to last, folks. Everything in this world is going to be burned up. All it's going to last is the word of God. God says his word's forever. And that's something else. And that's something else. I'm not talking about this Bible. This Bible here, this thing might burn. Well, I'm talking about the words in there. The words of God. They're not going to disappear. They're eternal. And you can destroy them. God's okay. That's fine. I'll dictate them again. You want to do that? I thought that you don't. You can't offend or hurt God. I mean, you can offend him, but you can't hurt him. He's okay. I'll write the words again. You're going to get it again. And not just that, but now you're going to add to it. Now you're going to get the full thing. God's always problem. He goes against Jeremiah again, and now Jehoiakim will face serious consequences for not listening to the word, but rather destroying it and wanting to take revenge on God's messenger. So ready? Here's what he says to do, okay? And thou shalt say, Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and to the night, and to the frost, and I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearken not. You know what? They hearken not. Jeremiah brought the word there to Joachim. Joachim didn't listen. So what happens? Well, let's go to the conclusion of the whole matter. Joachim's kicked out of being king, and Zedekiah is installed by Babylon to be the king. He don't last that long. Zedekiah is the last king. And then the kingdom falls, just like God promised. Why? Well, they stopped listening to God's word. They stopped resting the land. Why? Because they stopped listening to God's word. All these events, all the events that occurred in this time are for one reason and one reason only. They shut up the word of God. Folks, we need to be careful. We need to be tender to the word of God, and we need to be attentive to the word of God, because God does not want his people to go away from his word. He is his word. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'll bless us now, Father. We pray that we might be strengthened through the word of God, Lord, and we might understand that it's a dangerous thing to fall away from the word of God. Be with us, Father, in this evening now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.